I'm assuming that's what shit on me.
Heavily soiled. She was heavily soiled.
I don't do bong hits.
From theballerlifestyle.com. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Thank you very much for joining the show. Episode 189. I see I have that wrong on my notes. Shouldn't surprise anybody that's been a listener for a while. Episode 189 of the show. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate your patronage. Thank you for being a part of our world. Joining me now, as always, of course, it's Ed Daily. Ed, how are you?
I gotta be honest, I'm pretty bummed about this whole Las Vegas thing.
Yeah, I think everybody is.
Just a bummer.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? But on a lighter note, I got shit on by a bird today.
Oh, that's the best. So happy for you.
That's like the fourth time in my life this has happened.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not an outdoorsman. That seems like a high percentage for me.
That is kind of a lot.
Like, it's probably happened to me like once every 5 years or so.
I went to an elementary school that was pretty close to the beach for a while, and mm-hmm. there was lots of seagulls at that elementary school. And there was
they're awful.
At least once every recess, you'd see a bunch of people start laughing and somebody wiping bird shit off of themselves. It was like a pretty much a daily occurrence. But I've maybe been shit on like once or twice in my life. It's not.
It never happened
thing.
To me as a kid. Yeah. So my adult life, my like post college life, is less than 20 years.
Yeah.
Four times in less than 20 years.
Every 5 years. So,
I think the birds have realized that how much I hate them, and now they're taking their revenge.
Yeah, you are a known despiser of birds.
That's right.
That is your gross. All birds are awful.
Yeah,
and I mostly agree with you. Although I'm sort of into birds that eat other birds.
I don't mind seeing like a cool looking bird.
Yes,
like. I mean, if you see a Baltimore Oriole or
very cool looking bird,
if you see a cardinal or a blue jay, like yes. you see something that like really stands out.
Totally.
But mostly what I see are fucking pigeons.
Oh, pigeons.
And I'm assuming that's what shit on me. Flying rats.
Yeah, that's what got you. Pigeons and seagulls, obviously the worst birds there are. And they always seem injured. And, yeah. But they're still hanging on. Like they'll always have a bum foot or something else wrong with them, but they're just, you know, they soldier on and they're shitty little scavengy lives. Pigeons are the worst. People that feed birds on purpose.
Yeah. There was a crazy lady feeding birds just, yesterday. And like, they were all over. I was trying to watch my son's soccer practice. I wasn't trying. I just had to. And there's a probably homeless lady feeding pigeons all near me.
Yeah, see? Why would you want to attract birds to you? I've never understood
that. Especially when each meal of your own is hard to come by. Maybe those bird seeds would do her good if she'd put them in her pocket.
Right, there's some nutrition in there. One time I was at the beach with my kids, and one was like holding their sandwich. And like, I can't remember which kid, one of them had a sandwich in their hand and they were like looking the other way and a seagull swooped down and just fucking snatched that sandwich right out of their hand.
Yeah, they're too aggressive.
And so I'm always like, we're at the beach a lot. And when I'm at the beach, my head is on a swivel. I do not allow any birds near me. I'll throw a flip flop at them. I'll fucking chase them off. Like, yeah. I don't.
They're those guys that show up at the party and ruin it for everyone.
They really suck. You know, one thing that's been really, and it's a somber week, I think, for everyone.
Sure.
It's, you know, this Vegas thing is just so fucking depressing. So it's hard to, you know, have fun. And I think one of the things that's sadly been drowned out of the national conversation in wake of this horrible, horrible event, this stain on our nation, is the return of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, I unfortunately, it's like one of the few shows I watch with Michelle. So yeah. It's like,
and she hasn't
got to line up our schedule. So I haven't seen it.
Oh, Ed.
Was it good?
So good. Exact. Because you're never sure. You're like, it's been a long time. Can they get the magic back?
I've been watching old ones lately, and you just remember how many great episodes.
Larry is so fucking funny. And the real star of the show, JB Smoove, Leon, yes. Is just so hilarious. Every scene he's in is so fucking funny, and the shit he comes up with is so hilarious. I was listening to that Origins podcast. Now they have like all the source material for the original.
Are those interviews good? Yeah, or is
they're
it like,
good. They're really good. I didn't,
because I felt like, because is this just the unedited interview, which I've already heard the best parts, or is it still worth?
No, it's good because they're short. It's like 20-minute interviews. I've only listened to the first couple, but it was funny to hear Larry go, yeah, he's like, so when it started airing, people were telling me that they couldn't watch certain scenes because they just found me so cringeful. And he was like, I was legitimately shocked by that. Like I did not expect people to have that reaction at all. And I was like, what? That's like everyone's reaction. Like he's the character Larry is so fucking cringy all the time. And that's why he's great.
Well, remember there was the storyline like season 2 or 3 of Curb where he's trying to put together a show about for Jason Alexander. And Jason Alexander is like, I need to, you know, get away from George because he was such a, you know, dipshit or whatever he calls him. It's putz. And he's like, well, George wasn't a loser. He wasn't an asshole. He's like, yeah, he was. Everybody knows that. He's like, no, he wasn't.
Yeah. that's exactly it. Yeah. You believe him. So hurry up and get watch. You might have to just separate. You might just have to.
I might have to do one of those moves where I watch it and then just pretend.
Yeah, pretend. Be like, oh, this is, oh, I didn't see that coming. Like, you really get into it. So celebrate the return. If there's one thing that we as a society can be happy about, it's the return of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And then before we get into the show, I might need some advice here, Ed.
Okay.
I think it might be time for me to pick a new football team.
Oh, because of, I don't care. I don't know. I don't know what the care is when a team moves. Like that's your team.
No, yeah.
I mean, do you go to all the games in person?
Hold on. Like, hold on. Here's let me tell you my history. As everyone knows, I'm a Charger fan.
Right.
Now, growing up, I'll admit this. I was a Rams fan. Grew up a Rams fan, like the Rams, Jim Everett, you know, Vince Ferragamo, Eric Dickerson, Nolan Cromwell. Like, I'm just naming players now, but I'm just to let you know, I was in it. I know who these guys are. I was a fan of the Rams.
Flipper Anderson.
It's fucking great play. So, but then the Rams moved. And before the Rams moved, I admit, I'd kind of tailed off my Rams fandom. I was kind of like not really paying attention because they were real bad before they moved. So they moved away and I was like, oh, I'm kind of free of the Rams. And then I was a big Steve Young fan. So I sort of became a quasi 49ers fan while they had Steve Young because he was my favorite player.
Oh, no.
And then, but then that kind of went away. And then I was kind of.
Let me tell you something about Steve Young.
He's Mormon.
He's so Mormon that his best man had to stand outside the church.
Yeah, because you can't. You have to be Mormon to come in the temple.
Yeah.
Hey, that's. I don't.
The dude. Yeah. The dude was okay showing up on a 90210 episode.
That's right.
On Thanksgiving Day. That was okay.
He was throwing the ball.
But he couldn't have his best man. He couldn't have his best man in the church with him.
Him and Brandon.
Oh, get the fuck.
Him and Brandon were tossing the ball out on the lawn as you should.
He threw the winning turkey bowl toss to Steve.
That's right. Sanders caught that. Sanders hauled it in. Which is weird because Sanders was
good cross. It was a post route, I think.
Sanders was older than Steve Young, yet he was still in high school for some reason, which is weird. So then, but then eventually I sort of meandered back down to Southern California to the Chargers. And I've been with the Chargers for quite a while now, you know, had access to season tickets for quite a while. So I went to lots of games and they played in a shithole. Jack Murphy Stadium, Qualcomm. It was a real fucking old, just pit, shitty, long lines for the bathrooms, concrete. It sucked, but it was okay. Bad parking lot. But now they've moved to LA, and I think it's kind of, everyone's like, oh, they play in a soccer stadium. And I'm like, well, that's actually kind of cool to me. Like,
yeah, it's smaller.
Right? Yeah, just go, like, would you rather see a concert at the Rose Bowl or in a club, you know, your favorite band at the Rose Bowl or in a club? You'd rather see them in a club. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I don't have access to season tickets anymore, but I'm like, I could probably go to a game or two. But now they've lost every game. And I'm like, and they're just kind of like not good corporate citizens, as no NFL owner is.
None of them.
Right. So now it's like, what do I do? Am I a free agent? And I'm thinking, maybe I jump on the bandwagon of another team. Now it's not going
to
be the Rams.
You're going back to the Rams.
It can't be. Because now all of a sudden it's like people that like the Rams, they think it's real cool to like the Rams. And a Rams fan is, they used to share the stadium with the Angels. And so a Rams fan is basically an Angel fan, and that's not cool. I don't want to be associated with them. And they're the same. Yeah, sure. They're the same people that like the Ducks. And I can't be associated with any of those fan bases because they're all wrong.
So, well, the Ducks aren't even a thing.
No, they're not. The Ducks are not a thing.
No, they're not.
No.
Emilio Estevez movie.
Disney Ducks.
I mean, if there was a team called the Stakeout, maybe, but certainly.
How
not.
About the Mighty Ducks? What's the one where he played garbage men with him?
Oh, Men at Work.
Men at Work. What about the Men at Works?
Like maybe the Men at Works, but we are not going Mighty Ducks.
The Men's at Work. So I can't be a Rams fan. And they play at the Coliseum and just everything. The Walmart, they're owned by Walmart. Like the whole thing is a bad deal. But
even the guy's name, Cranky.
Yeah, Cranky. That's a bad name. Yeah, he sucks. He's got a toupee, hairpiece. Like, it's all bad. But I will say this: great uniforms, which is my number one requirement for liking a team.
Yeah, but they fucked it up this weekend.
What were they wearing?
They
didn't have the white helmet.
The helmet didn't match the jersey this week. I like that they switched to the white and
sweet.
The white.
Yeah.
But they were trying to match the white with the gold. Oh. Like, it was weird.
Oh, really?
They fucked up.
Yeah. See, I don't pay attention. This weekend. So I can't be a Rams fan. So my number one requirement is that it has to number one, cool uniform. B, cool place. And that's why the Chargers, best uniforms. B, they're from San Diego. Like, San Diego's bitching. San Diego's a cool fucking place to be from. So that's where I'm at. I mean, I could meander back to the 49ers, but I'll be honest. I don't know one player. I don't know one single player on the 49ers. Is Blaine Gabbert still their quarterback?
Yeah, well, Shanahan is, I assume he's going to try to get Kirk Cousins next year.
Oh, he's got one of the Shanahans? No, they're coached by a Shanahan. No.
Well, here's a general rule
yep.
for picking a professional sports team. Yep. If you're over the age of 10, you're allowed to switch teams.
Oh. Uh-huh.
If you're not, I mean, if you're under the age of 10, you're allowed to switch teams. If you're older,
yes.
Then sorry.
What?
You've locked in.
What?
Nope. You got to keep the team.
You're kidding. Like, is this written
That's
down
weak
somewhere?
Weak moral character what? If you're over 10 and switching
what?
Teams.
I mean, yeah. I'm just like, I wouldn't.
That's not a move adult men
well, hold
do.
Hold on. Just some teams I'm more beholden to. Take, for instance, the Dodgers. The Dodgers are my team, and the Dodgers disappoint me every year. They constantly disappoint me, but they're the Dodgers. I'm tied to the Dodgers. I'll always be a Dodger fan. There's no way I wouldn't be a Dodger fan. Same with like the Kings, LA Kings. It's my squad. I'm a Kings fan. I'm just always going to be a Kings fan. I never could like any other team but the Kings. I feel like I'm a little bit more, because I'm not a huge NFL fan as it is.
But this is what you have to
I'm
do.
A little bit more of a slut in that way. Yeah.
See, I say when your team stinks, when there's just nothing going on, then you just become less of an NFL fan.
I think that's where I'm at.
But what you can do you can be a fan of you know, not exactly the same thing, but you could be a fan of a few different teams in college football, and they won't intersect. You could like Colorado Buffaloes, and you could like LSU, and that's not going to matter unless in the rare chance they met in a bowl game.
Right.
And so, like, you could have a couple teams that, like, if they're your squad on this particular year, you could be like, all right, I like their team. I like their receiver or something. And just make a college team. But, like, you can't. I don't know. The NFL is just not, it's not that fun anyway, so you might as well just stick with one
team. Well, I'm open. I'll probably, because A, Chargers, coolest uniforms. So you can't really, you're not going to be able to go, hey, check out the Chiefs, and I'll be like, well, their uniforms aren't that cool. Plus, they're from Kansas City, place I've never been, place that looks very cold. Like, I'm not interested in being a Chiefs fan. Well, I'll never be a Chiefs fan.
And Missouri, like, the NAACP issued, like, a travel warning to that state. Like, that's like, a scary state these days.
Exactly. And, you know, we've been called placist on this show. I don't know why that is, but it's, like, the Bills. Like, I'm not going to be, like, Bills, actually, pretty cool fucking uniforms. Like, pretty sharp. They got, like, a buffalo, a bison on the side of their helmet, right. And it's got a nice solid stripe coming out of it. Now, I think people have pretty much forgotten about the whole O.J. Simpson connection that they had. I don't think people really think about that. But, you know, Western New York, I've never been there. I don't drive an IROC. I don't, you know, I don't have that many gold chains. Like, I don't think that team really suits me.
They are famous for, I mean, the town is famous for wings. Well, give them that.
That is a good thing. Like, wings.
That's a very good thing.
Wings. Delicious. So, something to think about. Like, if you want to indoctrinate me into your team, let me know. I might be interested, but it's going to be hard to persuade me, even though the Chargers are real bad. Something to think about. Okay. Anything else, Ed?
No.
You got anything going on? No? We got some email to get to. Hold on. Email. Hey everyone, I know you guys have offered serious advice in the past, so I am approaching you guys with hat in hand. My wife made breakfast burritos this morning, and I don't even know how to say this. She made them open-ended. This burrito sin of epic proportions was accentuated by attempting to put salsa in the burrito when every burrito slaying vet worth their salt knows that salsa must be applied to every bite. Need your help, guys. I feel like 12 years is a pretty good run. One more thing. She let our kids decorate for Halloween in September. I'm so hurt. That's from Dave in San Clemente. You know, burrito, homemade burrito, the burrito fold is very difficult. I don't even attempt it.
What does that mean? Oh, open-ended, meaning like it's just a tortilla laying there?
It's kind of, it's like rolled up. It's like a knife and fork burrito. It's not closed at the ends where you can pick it up and eat it with your hands. If you went to pick it up, it would just fall apart.
So sounds like we're picking nits here when it's a homemade job.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is, you kind of take what you get at home. Like, I assume your wife, Dave, just, I'm not meaning to cast aspersions here, but your name's Dave. I'm pretty sure your wife is not from Michoacan or Monterey or Culiacan. Like, she's probably as white as you are, white as fuck. So, you know, she can't be expected to be an expert burrito roller, right?
But it's I mean, I wish I had somebody at home who would make a burrito once in a while. Because I can't make it.
No.
I mean, I can make some things. That seems like a tough...
It is. Well, you just got to, you just make all the shit and then you dump it in a tortilla.
That's the thing. I rarely feel that adventurous. I'm going to make nine different
things. Right. That's true. And the thing is that the key is, and the way they wrap the burritos, you go to a Mexican place, is they get a huge tortilla. That's the trick.
That's big. It's big. They need a lot to tuck.
Yeah. They get a massive, really thin tortilla, and that's how they're able to roll them up so well. Whereas the ones you get at the grocery store, this is the biggest tortilla you're going to see is a 12-inch. And that doesn't really roll itself. That doesn't lend itself to rolling into a massive burrito. I will say this, the Halloween decorations thing in September, huge, huge problem. You need to have a family meeting about that.
I think I get the excitement with kids, but like they're just start dates. I think October is fine.
Right.
You do it right now, it's fine.
Yeah.
But just like, you know, it's like putting the Christmas decorations up in mid-November. You have a starting point after Thanksgiving. Like they're just things there are certain times. And September seems like that's back to school time. That's not Halloween time.
Totally agree. It's still fucking summer. It's not Halloween time. Halloween time, I would even say October 1 is a little early to get your carved pumpkins out there.
Well, yeah, we didn't go carve, but we've got the posable skeleton hanging.
Oh, sweet.
From my son's door.
That's pretty sweet. Okay. Another one. Oh, wait, no. That's it. That's it for emails. Ed, speaking of sports, what is going on in the world of sports besides me picking a new football team possibly?
Well, this weekend, our great president was at a golf tournament called the President's Cup.
Oh, what a cunt.
To present the trophy.
Let me guess. That's the one there was a bunch of white guys?
A lot of white guys. I got to be honest, I didn't watch a second of it.
Yeah.
But I did see the trophy presentation was breathtaking. This is a direct quote. He's holding the big silver cup.
It's always a big silver cup.
Yeah. On behalf of all the people of Texas and all the people of, if you look today and you see what's happening, how horrible it is, but we have it under control. Puerto Rico and the people of Florida have really suffered over this last short period of time with the hurricanes. I just want to remember them, he continued. And we're going to dedicate this trophy to all those people who went through so much that we love, a part of our great state and a part of our great nation. Now, Brian, I know just last week's show I mocked professional golf's role in making the world a better place. But is this shiny trophy in New Jersey just what the 95% of Puerto Ricans without power and 1.7 million residents without clean water need?
I know. It just seems sort of ineffectual. It seems like not that sincere. So it's basically exactly what you would expect from that guy.
You know, I was going to say the guy seems like he's not really caring of the Puerto Rican people today. But just today, he was throwing paper towels into the crowd of desperate people like it was a fucking t-shirt cannon at a sporting event.
Yeah, he had... It looked like he'd done a run to Costco and he was like at summer camp or something. And he's like, here, everybody needs these for their cabin. So here. And he was like tossing
Who
out.
Who needs rolls. 60 cents?
Yeah. He's like tossing out. Here, just clean. I know your house blew down and flooded and you don't have a roof or anything. But see, these towels, I'm told these towels do a really good job. Here you go. And he tossed out some paper towels to people. So this is probably all fixed.
I have a buddy who it solely exists on. I mean, his livelihood is tied to the GOP. Mm-hmm. So he reads all the Pravda sites.
Yeah.
And I like to take his temperature from time to time. Like, hey, so how's the spin? Like, what possibly is the spin on Puerto Rico? And he sent like this picture of like one of these links. And it was like, the mayor of San Juan standing in front of a case of water and being like, they have all the supplies they need.
Yeah, I've heard that.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. That's enough out of you.
Right.
We're gonna not click on any more Daily Wire links or any of those random sites. Yeah. We're good.
Totally good, yeah. Okay. What else?
But by the way, and this is obviously indicating how small my donation. I tried to donate when they said like text Maria to 90999, that thing.
Yeah.
I didn't get a confirmation. What am I supposed to do?
Oh, yeah. You don't know that.
You know how they say reply yes? I got nothing. Right. And then I checked, and you know how you can see your previous correspondence?
Yeah.
And all the 9099 was pretty much a greatest hits of all the hurricanes and
Because that's the Red Cross.
Right.
Yeah.
So I tried to do that just as like a basic thing. And then, you know, if you see some sort of like, you know, somebody tells you about a, you know, a local place.
Right.
But yeah, got no confirmation.
So you got to wait till you get your bill.
Right.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at one of those things in years.
I know. Might be time. Might have to log on. Okay. What else is going on?
Well, a high school football team in the Finger Lakes region of New York has forfeited its entire season after 7 players took oxycodone before the game. Some of the non-drug using players came forward and narked the guys out after the game, and now the year is over. Now, coincidentally, the drug-numbed Geneseo Blue Devils team beat Bolivar Richburg Wolverines 26-24 on Friday night. Now, Brian, what's worse? The fact that there's a high school named Bolivar Richburg, or the fact that Bolivar Richburg couldn't beat a team on Oxy?
It's also confusing. Like, they thought that it was going to like numb the pain. So like, let's all take an Oxy. Also, I don't know. I'm not like in the Oxy realm, but it's my understanding that those pills can get very expensive. Like,
oh, I thought the opposite. Oh, right. They get expensive, and that's when people turn to heroin.
Right. The right. Back alley opiates can be like $20 a pill or something, which seems very, very excessive. Do we know how they were found out?
Because the non-drug users, some of them came forward and like, hey, they're like, you know, these 7 kids popped Oxy before the game.
Oh, which seems like a narcs.
Like, it's one thing if you saw a bunch of guys popping pills and then getting in their cars and you're like, yeah, I don't feel good about this. Like, these guys are going to cause trouble. Like, they're on the football field. Like, what's it to you?
Yeah, who cares? Mind your own business. Because those other 7 kids were probably on the fucking bench sitting on their helmets.
I played with a guy who is a real steakhead, and he would like sometimes get his hands on a steroid pill.
Yeah.
And he would like take it before the game. I'm like, buddy, these are like, you could take them in cycles, and it's like a whole routine. Like, he thought this was going to turn him into Latimer from the program right before the game.
The whole roid rage thing.
That's not how this works.
That's not how it works. Similarly, I once played a high school baseball game, and I can't remember. It must have been either like over spring break or on a Saturday for some reason, because there was no school in session. It wasn't like normally the games are after school. But there was no, for whatever reason, there was no school in session.
Might have been like a spring break deal.
Right. I think it was over spring break. And so me and two of my buddies that were also on the team, we had, before the game, we had a very important doobie to smoke. And this is what a juvenile delinquent I was. We had no lighter. So we're like walking through campus, like going towards
rubbing sticks together,
going towards the locker room. And the campus is all deserted. You know, we're like at the other end of the campus from where all the sports activity is. So we're like walking. We're like, what are we going to do? Like, we really need to smoke this joint or else we can't play a game. Like, obviously. So we're walking past the home ec room, and we happen to notice that the louvered window, the like top louvered window was cracked open. So one of us, I think it was me, got boosted up and crawled through that louvered window in the top. And then I came through and opened the home ec room so that we could light the doobie off the range, the stovetop.
That's nice work.
That's nice work. And then I'm pretty sure we all went off. Like, we all had great games, and I'm pretty sure my one buddy, who shall go nameless, I had forgotten the story until I ran into him a couple years ago. I'm pretty sure he pitched a no-hitter, or like almost pitched a no-hitter.
He's like Doc Ellis.
Yeah, it was like a Doc Ellis game. So I don't support any high school kids doing oxys. Like, it just shows what kind of situation the world is in. But
oxys are fucking serious, bro.
You just want to do, maybe just switch to cannabis, guys. Just do a little weed.
Right, smoke some weed, but like, Christ,
that
only leads to heroin.
It's true. That's exactly what happened.
Not a good one. Well, okay. Yeah. Since we're talking about the downer of Oxy, why don't we go to the saddest story of the week?
Yeah.
Chargers super fan Dan Jeregui.
Jeregui.
Better known as Boltman. What? The persona he's adopted at games for decades.
Yeah.
Is extremely frustrated after briefly being told he would be ejected if he did not remove his mask during the first game at the recently relocated team's new home stadium in Los Angeles Sunday.
Yeah.
They treated me like a criminal. You can't even make this stuff up to harass one of your most recognizable fans. He went on to say that if someone hadn't been taping the incident, he would have risked being beaten like Rodney King by the Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies that stadium security called in for backup. Now, Brian, did you ever think you'd see the day when Ragnar, the Minnesota Vikings Harley riding bald guy, wasn't the saddest super fan in the world?
I mean, the number one saddest super fan is the Jets Fireman Joe.
Fireman Ed.
I mean, he's number one.
The most full of himself guy ever.
Totally. This Boltman, I know this guy. Boltman, he's a huge loser, though, because he's got to be so fucking hot in that costume. First of all, he's got like a latex mask that covers his whole head.
He looks like a cross between the Jim Carrey mask and the old 80s McDonald's.
Yeah, Mac the Knife guy.
Like the moon-looking guy?
Yep. He looks like that, except it's bolts. And I don't know if this is homemade or what, but he's got to be so hot in that uniform. A buddy of mine is a big Raiders fan, and he, like, knows all the guys.
Oh, all those losers with their shoulder pads?
Yeah, he knows all those guys that, like, dress up like Spike and Darth Raider.
Who are these super fans? Like, do they think they matter? Like, do they think that they're changing the outcome?
I don't. They really tie a lot of their identity into their sports fandom, like rooting for the team and being a character for the team. But my buddy, he like goes to the games in Oakland, and he knows all those guys, and he does a thing where he's like, he calls them by their actual name.
Like Doug?
Yeah, I think Spike is called Greg. And he's like, hey, what's up, Greg? And he's like, come on, man, it's Spike. And like, he does it to all the guys. And they all get like real annoyed. And because he'll be like hanging out, you know, and the local news will come over and he'll be like, ah, good one, Greg. And Greg will get all bummed out. Spike, man, come on.
It seems like so much work. Yeah, and then I always think about anytime that team loses. This guy's got to go home like that. Like, he's got to leave the stadium. Does he start wiping it off as he sadly walks out of the stadium, or does he drive home in the silver face paint?
Change in the car, maybe. Also, the face painting. You know, I was looking at these. I was, of course, watching the Million Juggalo March.
Yeah, of course.
Which looked like more like the 7,500 Juggalo March.
I was going to say, a tad south of a million.
I mean, I don't want to do the Donald Trump's inauguration math there, but it wasn't.
Comparable.
Feel like they didn't really get the turnout they were expecting. And I was watching, I can't remember if it was Violent J or Shaggy Tudo. It was both of them, but I don't know which is which. And they were being interviewed, and I was just staring at the makeup because I was wondering, like, would you be able to, if you were a fan, you could probably tell who these guys were when they go out without the makeup. Like, you would know, you'd be like, oh, there's Violent J, he just doesn't make it.
Well, the one guy's Guy Fieri, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, Guy Fieri's the one. I'm not sure if that, I think that's Violent J.
Okay.
And then the other one's Shaggy Tudo. But I was looking at the makeup, and they must do that themselves, right? And I was thinking, like, if I adopted a clown persona, or like I was like joined KISS or something, in a million years, I would never be able to learn how to do that, how to make the face paint work properly and look like professional, like they have it.
Well, I have a little inside knowledge on the face painting world because one time I was at a bar when Mini Kiss was performing.
Oh, yes. Huh?
I mean, yes. You know how, like, you go to a bar and, like, an entertaining fight might break out, and you're like, wow, that was kind of a nice free entertainment. Totally. One time we just were going to a random bar and Mini Kiss was performing.
I would be into that. I would 100% be in. I would go to a bar just to see
Mini Kiss. If it was regular Kiss.
Yeah. No, of course not. No.
Mini Kiss. It was pretty good. Yeah. And so one of these little guys was, I saw him. He came out of the stall. He had just taken a big shit.
Oh, Jesus.
And he came back and he was like at the sink and he's like, oh, fuck. And like he had like some missing, maybe he had sweat, but he had some like missing part of his face that he had to put a little white powder.
And he fixed it.
He did it himself. So I know you would think that Mini Kiss would have people that would do that for them, but sometimes they do it themselves.
Now, question. Was he the kind of little person with like the kind of nubby little fingers, or did he have like the sort of regular hands?
No, I think he had the little Billy Barty fingers.
So that was also a Mormon, by the way. More Mormon chat. So that would definitely up the degree of difficulty, is having to do that with those, like, hold the makeup brushes and. Like,
yeah, it was like a violent shit.
You feel? Oh, I forgot about that part. Then, also, like, I feel like, well, Kiss, they obviously have people to do it, do that for them,
right?
But I think that you get to a point where you have it like a stencil situation going, where you just kind of like lay it over your face and then maybe just kind of like
like a star stencil for the one guy.
Yeah, that's Paul Stanley. He's got Star Child. He's called Star Child.
And one's like a cat, right?
Yeah, that's Peter Chris, the drummer. Although they don't know.
You really know your stuff.
Well, I know a little bit, but I don't think he's in Kiss anymore. Peter Chris and Ace Frehley are not in Kiss. It's just Gene and
Ace Frehley had a couple, like one or two songs outside of Kiss.
Yeah, Ace Frehley's he's like the musician of Kiss. Like he's the only good part of Kiss. Also, their biggest song,
that's another fastest horse in the blue.
Their biggest song, the ballad Beth, written and sung by the drummer Peter Chris, which has to really annoy old. Gene Simmons. Yeah.
I like the different verses of Rock and Roll All Night. Like where the one part they say, I want to rock and roll all night. And then they say, and party every day. And then they say it again 3,700 times.
That's it. It's the same.
I like the variation. Like the
same thing over and over again.
40th verse, same as the first.
There's not really a lot of changes in that number. Mm-mm. Ed, another RIP is in order. RIP Gino Prestone.
Gino, I'm not familiar with his work.
What? Well, you probably would have been, because that's actually a stage name of an aspiring rapper called Cody Joyce from the Pittsburgh, I think.
And hang on a second. Yeah. Was his name Gino Prestone and he wanted his stage name to be Cody Joyce?
Other way around. Cody Joyce.
So somebody's like, you can pick almost every name. There's only about 50 names you can't choose because they're taken. Yeah. You can't be Old Dirty Bastard. Right. You can't be like, you know, whatever.
You could do a Young or Lil. Like, we just recently talked about Young Dolph on the show.
Right. Right. Even somebody chose Young Dolph. Yeah. But you could choose so many. Yeah. And he chose what? Cody?
No. That's his given name.
Gino? He's a big cheesesteak fan.
Yeah, G-E-N-O, like Gino's.
Right.
Last name, Prestone, like the antifreeze. Prestone antifreeze. actually exactly the same gene.
He probably would have been great. It sounds like a good name.
Well, aspiring rapper is kind of like a weird phrase in the sense that you can just be a rapper. Like, you don't have to be like, I'm going to be a rapper someday. You just,
right, just start
rapping.
Rhyming.
Just rhyme some shit. Spit some rhymes about what's popping off in Pittsburgh. Well, anyway, Gino is not going to be doing that because he got killed.
That's a shame.
It's always a little...
Hopefully it was like a, you know, like some sort of valiant, you know, effort.
Yeah.
Something.
Well, you're onto something there. I feel like you've got an ear for this kind of journalism because you've got the right idea. Okay. Gino Prestone was killed. Some say murdered. Others say justifiable homicide in a dispute at a house party over a Hot Pocket.
A girl?
No.
Oh!
Yes. It wasn't a typical rap beef, which could be over, you know, an unpaid debt or a particularly important diamond-studded gold chain, thick ropes.
Right.
Or maybe some stolen beats. In this case, it was a bread roll, like an imitation calzone thing that can only...
Full of scalding hot.
So hot.
Grade D beef.
It's like a pizza inside, but also can also be like cheese and broccoli. There's a cheese and broccoli one I know for sure because I used to hit those like in my teens, 100%.
I've had them. It's been many years, all I remember is the relentless temperature that even if you like bite the first bite, just the crust and let it air out. Yeah. And you're like, oh, it's been a half hour. It should be all right. And it's like, no, third degree burns on your tongue.
But you need it. You need it to be. And we know that Jim Gaffigan has fucking 30 minutes on this, but you need the edges to be fucking molten lava cheese, because if it's not, the middle is still gonna be the fucking polar ice caps. You're gonna crack it open.
It's like a frozen ham cube in the middle.
You're gonna crack. You go to cut it open. You're like, what's going on? And you crack it open, and there's a fucking live polar bear eating seal blubber on the inside. He's like, hey, what are you doing? This is my fucking habitat here.
Oh, it's the worst food. It really. Jim Gaffigan's routine is so good.
Yes,
it's like if you are. Just a maniac and have never seen it, or even if you haven't seen it in a couple of years, just go on YouTube. Yeah. It's a great, it's
very
routine.
Funny. So I guess this guy was at a party, and some sort of fracas ensued over the Hot Pocket, and four guys.
Was he trying to offer it to somebody to eat, and they killed him?
That would be good.
Would you like, I've cooked you a Hot Pocket, and they just whip out a knife and stab him in the neck?
No, this is in the Pittsburgh area, so it's, you know, West Virginia adjacent, so...
Go to Primanti's.
Yeah, get a sandwich, for sure. Go to that one strip club that Ed goes to, where it's like...
Karaoke, yeah, Tennyson.
Yeah, it's a strip club and also a karaoke bar. Like, they probably have some good food on tap. So he like got kind of jumped or something. It's unclear because his family, has like said as they would want like a wrongful death, or they want charges to be filed. And everyone else at the party was like, oh no, this guy kind of started it. You know, like he was kind of,
this was the guy trying to feed everybody.
Yeah,
hot pockets.
Was the one that had a big deal with the Hot Pocket, and he was like slapping people around. It was a whole deal. So, Gino, R.I.P. Gino Prestone. But Ed, I need to know what now that we've covered it all, what the saddest part of the story is. Is it that Is it the tragic loss of life?
Yeah, that's sad.
The microwavable prison wallet that can only be prepared with a cardboard sleeve? Or the fact that the deceased was named Cody with an I?
That's it. The real name is bad, and the chosen name.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're Cody, I don't blame you for trying to pick a new name, like Cody with an I.
Yeah.
You'd be like, even if his rap name was Cody with a Y, you'd be like, all right, I'm just writing my mom's wrongs here.
Gino Prestone.
But Gino Prestone. It's like, I want, what would be the badass name I could come up with, the coolest name I could come up with? How about the name of a short order cook?
Yeah, exactly.
Like what?
How about the name of a guy that lost in a dance off to the Big Ragu in season 3 of Laverne and Shirley?
Oh, Big Ragu.
He used to dance people. He used to dance at people.
Very aggressively.
Very aggressive. I mean, how starved were we for entertainment back then?
Yeah, we were looking at some. I mean, Laverne, the only thing she had going for her was the L on her chest.
Yeah, she was no looker.
That was it. No. Gary Marshall was, it was Gary Marshall with a wig.
Right, he threw his sister a bone, got her a gig on TV. And even Shirley.
Cindy Williams. Yeah, Cindy Williams.
She was okay, but
was homely.
Yeah, she was no
beauty. She was like Janet from Three's Company.
Right. She was just.
Like, she was just kind of there.
Just there. Like, there's no hotties. And Lenny and Squiggy, like, what was their deal?
Yeah, that was. Well, they were kind of like.
They were like.
Tough guy greasers, but at the same time, they were like weirdos.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they were huge pussies. Like, you think they'd be tough guy greasers, but...
Right, the toughest guy on the show was, an aggressive dancer.
Yeah, yeah, he would...
Big Ragu.
He would dance at people, and then that would be... They would be, like, not want to fight anymore, because they got and danced at.
Laverne's dad was kind of tough. He yelled at everybody.
Right, yeah, he was pretty good. Ed, it seems like every week... There's breaking news in the world of fuck robots.
Yes, people are way into this.
It is. It has not.
I blame Westworld.
Yeah. I feel like Westworld, it's like the chicken or the egg. Is Westworld the symptom or the opposite of the symptom? The disease.
Yeah, this.
The cause or the effect?
It's just what the. Right. Was the public just clamoring for a show featuring sex robots?
Yeah, exactly. Because there's so much, they have so much in their real life. I mean, I remember Lars and the Real Girl, and it had Ryan Gosling in it. And
that was an interesting movie because it was a weirdo.
Yeah, he was a huge loser.
It wasn't accepted that, like,
yes.
Oh yeah, he's just one of these guys who fucks a blow up doll.
Yeah, he could have got like Lars. He could have got some real pussy because he was a regular dude and he looked like Ryan Gosling and chicks and
dreamy eyes.
Yeah, chicks really want to throw it down to Ryan Gosling, but he was fucking his doll because he had some mental problems. Ed, men at tech fair molest 3,000 pound. That's the British pound, the L.
Right.
So like $4,500.
$4,000.
$4,000 sex robot, so much it's left broken and, quote, heavily soiled.
Oh, no.
Samantha's developer, Sergi Santos. I would argue that's an equally terrible rap name to Gino Prestone. Sergi, S-E-R-G-I. It's kind of like Cody. Sergi Santos.
Yeah. He's the Eastern European Cody. Right.
From Barcelona, said that people at the Arts Electronica Festival in Linz, imagine the kind of people hanging out at this thing, Ed.
Probably a lot of Codys with an eye.
Treated the doll, quote, like barbarians. The doll, which reacts intelligently to touch and talks, was left filthy and broken by the never-ending male attention and has now been sent off for repair. According to Austrian media who tested Samantha, that means they fucked her. That means
there's
the Austrian media.
There's no other way to test them.
No, it's you got to put your dick inside this. Like, Dieter, swing by the office, pick up Samantha. You need to take her home and fuck her and proffer a review.
Tester.
Yeah, tester. Who tested Samantha. She reacts when someone massages her breasts by moaning. Not creepy.
Oh,
Santos Jesus. Complained the people mounted Samantha's breasts, her legs and arms. Two fingers were broken. She was heavily soiled. Me doing an accent.
I'm guessing you went more with the Santos part of the accent, not the Sergey.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Sergey.
Okay,
Sergey.
All right. I like where you're going.
People can be bad. People, they did not understand the technology and did not have to pay for it. They treated the doll like barbarians. Mr. Santos said Samantha had to be sent back in parcel to Barcelona for repairs and cleaning. But like he could, why didn't he just buy her a seat on Southwest next to him? Think about that. He puts her in parcel. She's not going to be happy about that. But he added, and this is important, Samantha can endure a lot. She will pull through. Thank God.
Pins and needles.
Ed, I am not super familiar with the scripture, but do lifelike fuck robots come after the lake of fire and before the four horsemen, or is it the other way around?
I think we're smack dab in the middle of it right now. The horsemen are probably coming next.
It seems about like that time, like massacres on the Vegas Strip, fucking Tom Petty dies, and fuck robots are prevalent. Like, what else do we need to know? We're at the end.
You know, in the past, we've done stories about guys fucking livestock.
Yeah.
You know, guys fucking a cow. Yeah. And I'm going to go ahead and say that these guys are sadder. Because...
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Because it's fucked up. But at least it's a living thing.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
This is Jesus. And there's many people showing up at these exhibitions.
Yeah.
You always see that one in Vegas where what is it called? Sexhibition, probably because they're not very clever.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And like there's all kinds of this stuff going on.
They always do that Vegas one. It's the Adult Industry Expo. They always do it right at the same time as the Consumer Electronics Show, or at least they used to, because all the nerds will be there. Like all these unsexed nerds can stroll the Consumer Electronics Show and check out what's new in VR, and then they could.
And it must be that the prostitutes must have the greatest week of their lives because these guys will pay them anything. They'll take 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, it's a perfect week for a prostitute.
Well, no, because they probably, like, they really, they just want to be held. Like, they're like, they find their favorite porn star, and they're like, find out her hourly rate, and then they take her back to the room, and they just hold hands and talk about what's happening in the world of consumer electronics.
Sounds like a night.
If the new Zelda is any good, or World of Warcraft level,
right? What's the next level of Doom that they completed in college?
What their character is in that game. Ed, joining us now. It's to lighten up the mood a little bit. Like, we've been talking about heavy
hot fuck
robots. Yeah, the Hot Pocket Murders.
Hot Pocket Murders.
Oxy Football. Like, serious, serious shit has been happening on the show. It's a somber day. But here to lighten the mood is our very own Fancy Sauce. How are you, Fancy?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Kate.
So good to have you on the show.
It's good to be here.
As always.
Has been kind of a heavy week so far.
Yeah, it is a heavy week. We have some emails. Let's lighten the mood with a bit of a can conundrum.
Yeah, I can't decide. This can conundrum for you, baby.
Now you're holding your actual cans. Could you? Great jam. Great jam by our own Writes a Bill. For you, for those of you that are not aware, this is a game we play in which Fancy Sauce is confronted by two pairs of breasts. She only has a brief moment to decide which of the two sets she's going to look at.
And this is not because I'm gay for
women. No, she hates this game.
Women.
It is a conundrum. I happen to love this game. Late one hot afternoon, a stoned Fancy is wandering the secluded local marina. Joint hanging off her bottom lip, sun shining from above. Wait, did we do this one last week?
Yeah, this is last week's.
Oh, I thought he sent another one.
Also, I just want to clarify, I don't do bong hits. I take my weed through a vape pen.
You don't even do weed. Like, if you did. Hold on. Let me see if we actually... Oh, yeah, I've cut and pasted the wrong one. Sorry about that, Pete.
Good host.
Here.
Why don't you cut the slow, creepy lead in? Just get to the
hold on. I got to read it. I'll do some editing on the fly.
Things take so long.
Let's try again. Yeah, okay, here we go.
I can't decide.
Woo! Yeah, baby. I just want to play the song again. Rounding out last week's conundrum, Fancy decides to wander the West Hollywood Hills alone one afternoon after stopping by her local depository. She spots Adrena Partridge, Stephanie Pratt, and Heidi Montag reunited and having a jog together in small, restricted outfits. Piquing Fancy's interest, she sees the trio finish the exhaustive jog and enter a large walled-off property with the security gate quickly closing behind them. Knowing these three rarely appear together, her interest level is high, and she decides she wants to see more. Pulling herself up over the wall to catch a glimpse, something she would never do, Fancy has noticed how comfortable these former reality stars are with each other, and the private setting as they begin to peel off their workout lycra outside the front door as to not bring their dirty clothes into the clean home. Knowing time is fleeting before they enter the home to shower and bathe, Fancy is forced into a dilemma to at least catch an eyeful of just one of the former MTV reality stars' exposed hands. Which is it? You got to pick more famous people, Pete.
I honestly...
You don't know who any of these people are.
I'd never even heard of any of them. I Googled Sophie Montag, and it's the German Cancer Research Center. I don't even know who that is.
Heidi Montag.
Heidi Montag.
All these chicks have
I've never heard of these people.
I would go Partridge. Adrena Partridge, for sure. 100%.
I think I'd go Heidi, because she's more of a train wreck. She's had all kinds of surgery, I would want to see like how messed up...
Her implants are massive. Okay, thanks for that, Steve. Pete. He. Hold on. Quick aside from Pete. Oh, by the way, from a couple of episodes prior, hashtag Team Current episode, Ragnar SMH was a hall monitor / parking lot monitor at my high school years ago. Let's just say the business decision Ragnar, actual name is Joe, made sounds about right. Oh, I'm interested to get
that. I love that.
An update on what's going on with Ragnar. All worth it. Okay, one more quick.
By the way, I Googled this Adrena. She seems like she might have a case of Donna Martin's. She's like these chicks are looking refund. She got a bad job.
Yeah. The problem is a lot of these chicks are too skinny. Mm-hmm. They're too skinny to have these big implants. You got to get a small, tasteful implant. Okay. Hey, y'all. The best thing about the always entertaining fancy sports segment is that even after every single team is eventually named, the game can be played all over again because there's no way Kate will remember where any of the teams are located. That is from our dear friend Ish. I was wondering about that, Ish. I was wondering if we run out of teams, if Kate will be able to come up, will be able to recall teams we've already done as people send in more fancy sports. I'm going to try one right now that I happen to know.
If you keep doing these reality show people, you could do the same thing with me with the...
Right, exactly. Yeah, you won't remember. Okay,
there's no way I'd remember.
Let's see. I happen to have just thought of one that we've had in the past, and we'll see if she gets it.
It's a place in the world, does she know it? It's a place where that sports guy will throw it. If you give her a hint, will she blow it? Or will she shine?
Okay, quickly, so we can get to this. This is the game, of course, where fancy sports, where we give Fancy the name of a team, and she tries to tell us.
She does tell you.
What sport or what city or both. And I happen to remember we did this one in the past. The Blues. The Blues. There is a team in a sport, and the name of the team is the Blues.
And it had something to do with?
Blues. The something Blues. It's a city in the United States of America.
Do I have to guess?
North America.
What
say North
sport
America.
Is it? I need a hint. Baseball.
Should we give her that, Ed? Do we give her that?
Baseball.
Hockey.
Baseball. There's a baseball team called the Blues. Baseball. It is not baseball. It is hockey. Ed says hockey.
Oh, no one knows anything about hockey.
That's pretty much true.
Literally no one.
It's true.
What is the team? There's a hockey team called the Blues. What city?
The
quickly.
The Blues. The St. Louis.
Holy shit. She got it. Unbelievable.
She nailed it.
Wow. I was, Ed, I had the odds very low at that.
I totally fucking guessed that.
I was... I mean, we've done it before.
Some muscle memory.
We've done that.
Right?
We did a long thing about it last time. Very surprising. Okay, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? That is your expertise, obviously, not sports.
No.
What is happening in the world of celebrity news that we need to know about?
Guys, so depressing. We lost a couple of greats in the last week.
Yeah.
Tom Petty.
Yep.
Legend.
Real bummer.
Huge bummer.
Especially considering he just played here.
Yeah.
And Brian and I were really debating whether or not to go.
I figure we'd just catch him next time.
And we didn't.
I saw him a couple of years ago.
And now I'm really
bummed. Great because it's like greatest hits.
I've never seen him and I wanted to.
Yeah. I've seen him a few times. He's
good. I'm glad you guys got to see him.
He's one of the very few acts that gets on stage and plays for 2 fucking hours and you know the words to every single fucking song he plays.
Yeah, he doesn't fuck around with songs you don't care about.
But he's written so many goddamn hits.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a hit machine. If a suggestion to anyone within the sound of my voice, check out the Peter Bogdanovich documentary. It's called Running Down a Dream.
Yeah,
it's
that's
about
good.
Tom Petty. It's very long, but it is very fucking good. You will not be disappointed. I think it's on Netflix.
So those of you who don't know, on Sunday, Petty was found unconscious, not breathing, and in full cardiac arrest at his Malibu home.
Horrible.
He was rushed to hospital and placed on life support. EMTs were able to find a pulse when they found him, but later it was reported that the hospital found no brain activity when he arrived. So a decision was made by his family to pull him off life support.
It sounded to me, and of course I have no knowledge of this, it sounded to me like they kept him hanging in there so that he could be surrounded by everyone, had a chance to come and be there at the last moment. And it's just fucking awful.
You only have, 5 minutes or so? 8 minutes?
Yeah.
If you're not breathing.
Yeah.
As soon as he was taken to the hospital, Rolling Stone, I think they posted that he was dead prematurely. Yeah.
The original source.
CBS.
Yeah, it was CBS News. Yeah.
Rolling Stone did as well.
Right.
So
picked up the CBS News.
Oh, okay. So they were just repeating what. Okay. Right. So his daughter, she took to her Instagram and said, @RollingStone, My dad is not dead yet, but your fucking magazine is. Your slime has been pieces of tabloid dog shit.
Wow.
You put the worst artists on your covers. Do zero research. How dare you report that my father has died just to get press because your articles and photos are so dated. Yeah. I will fucking shit down your throat and your family's.
Oh, I don't know about that.
A Trump vibe.
Somebody's having a bad day.
This is my father, not a celebrity, an artist and a human being. Fuck you.
I mean, it would suck. It would suck to have that happen, but I don't know that I would be in a place that I'd be able to respond or feel the need. I mean, it is what it is. Like that's the media culture we're in right now.
Yeah, and then some other musicians took to Twitter. Paul McCartney sending my love to Tom Petty and his family at a difficult time. John Mayer, I loved you, Tom Petty, and I loved Tom Petty, and I covered his songs because I wanted to know what it felt like to fly. You belong somewhere you feel free. Peter Frampton, I can't believe we've lost Tom Petty on this already horrible day. My love to his wife and children and the entire Heartbreaker family.
Horrible.
And it goes on and on.
Legend. Just
even Kid Rock.
Awesome, dude. Really huge bummer. And you know what? I'm going to make a prediction. You know what it sounds like to me? Widowmaker. You guys know the Widowmaker?
No. Is that the Belushi?
What?
No, it's that one. No, it's that one artery that's like in the back of your heart.
Oh, you think that's what?
Yeah, that they can't see. Because he's 66.
You can't see it when you have
He's 66. So this guy's obviously had his heart looked at. But that Widowmaker artery, it's like behind the heart or something. They can't really get a good look at it all the time. And when it goes, you're fucking dead.
Yep.
Awful.
We also lost Hugh Hefner last week, who died at the Playboy Mansion at 91.
Less sad because he was old as fuck.
Yeah, he was.
Cardiac arrest and a blood
knocking on death's door for like 15 years.
Yeah.
For sure.
He was old as hell.
But don't be sad because there's going to be a biopic.
Oh, finally.
Brett Ratner is going to make it.
Oh.
He's a sick director.
He is. He did all those movies with Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker.
And it looks like, lucky for us, Jared fucking Leto.
Nice.
We also lost another one today. Maurice Wiggs from Goodfellas.
Oh, no.
No.
Died today.
But he was also old.
He was like 92 or 91.
Yeah.
I got some Young Dolph.
Oh, Young Dolph update?
Yep. He took to Twitter.
Oh, he's back on Twitter.
And he tweeted a whole row of dolphins followed by.
Oh, dolphin emoji.
Followed by, it's Dolph! Exclamation
point. No, shut up.
Jamie left.
He seems like he's really going for something.
He's been in the hospital ever since the shooting, but he's up and on Twitter.
I mean, I'll be honest. I had never heard of Young Dolph prior to
no one had
him getting shot in Hollywood, but I'm into him now. I might become a fan of his. I might have to check out some of his songs.
I think we all expected this. Jason Aldean's canceled all his concerts.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
And
I'd be pretty okay just not doing another concert if I were in his shoes.
Yeah, so just done.
Imagine
how traumatized you'd be.
Just imagine.
Kirstie Alley, Scientologist, she's got some thoughts about
Ed jacking off to her all the time in the 80s.
About the shooting.
Yeah. Hold on. Just a quick interlude. This is Young Dolph right here. So far, so good.
It's Dolph!
It's Dolph! He tells you his name right at the beginning. I'm Dolph.
All rappers do that.
I bring some backwoods about a home and a cup of ice.
I didn't catch any of that.
Some rubber bands about a too, homie.
What? I'm not sure either.
It's got like an echo effect.
It's 3 p.m.
It might be my headphones.
Yeah.
80 degrees outside.
Warm
I'm in something to go real fast just sitting outside the corner store.
Sitting on an orange
six
Ferrari.
Figure car ain't got no business in this.
He's really setting the scene.
If it ain't one thing, it's a motherfucking nutter.
Yep.
Damn. Trapped together, then it's my motherfucking brother.
Yeah, mother
pay
brother.
Pay her bills and bad designer, but I don't love her.
Doesn't mean, love her.
She just play a part when it's time to smuggle.
Are you ready?
I pull up, pick up that bag and burn rubber.
All right.
Got a sweet tooth, but I stay away from suckers.
Yeah, though, stays no away from suckers, get it?
Was my last supper.
Oh, no boo.
I fucked on in Rush Hour traffic, Chris Tucker.
That's the movie I was just talking
Rush
about.
Rush Hour. Hey, everybody Ratner.
Gang, yeah. Gang. All right. It's nice job, Young Dolph. Get well soon.
Yeah, like how he used like an Incredible Hulk TV show background music for his track.
Oh, you don't like his beats. You're judging his beats is what you're saying.
There's no fucking hook.
I mean, we didn't get to the hook. Maybe the hook was coming up. I just felt like
there was not going to be a hook.
Got it.
This guy telling the time and temperature.
To quote the great Tom Petty, don't bore us. Get to the chorus.
Yeah, that's right.
Young Dolph could have learned from that.
All right, I'm going to read you some tweets that Kirstie Alley posted.
Oh, yeah, we're back to that.
She has some thoughts on the shooting that occurred in Vegas on Monday.
I bet she also has some thoughts on cheesecake.
She's a Scientologist.
Yeah, she is.
That does not mean based in science.
Right, okay.
First tweet. We have to solve the mystery of why is capitalized inexplicably.
But it's not just the letter Y.
It's just a W. Oh. Why there were no shooters, in quotation, or almost zero before the 1980s. I know one common denominator other than guns. One additional common denominator of shooters is USA's mass use of psychiatric drugs. A percentage do have side effects of violence and suicide. I mean, fine, but whatever. Also, we don't have any evidence that this man, I don't feel like saying his name, the shooter was on any anti-psych drugs.
No,
and we there's plenty of evidence. You can go back to the Texas bell tower
guy. I was going to say, what antipsychotics was he on? The bell tower
there
guy.
What
about the San Diego McDonald's guy?
Yeah, the San Diego McDonald's guy. Yep. There's a guy who shot up a Michigan school 75 years ago. Like, you know, there's a million.
I'm with you. I'm with you, buddy.
The guns got better.
Simpatico.
She's a real winner.
Yeah. What else, Kate?
Alex Morgan. Do you know who she is?
Yes. Hot soccer player from West Covina.
She was kicked out of Epcot Center with her teammates, I guess. She was with several MLS soccer players, hammered, drunk.
Is Epcot Center? Is it like a bar? It's that big ball. It's that big golf ball.
Epcot is the one where they have like the different countries, right?
They recreated the world.
Yeah, yeah,
I went there when I was like 10 or something. Yeah. So the whole group was hammered. She was allegedly bragging that she knows the Orlando SWAT team, and
she probably does
to pressure the officers to let her go. They were impaired, apparently, and verbally aggressive. She was escorted out of the pub there and told not to come back.
Oh, there is a pub there. Normally, probably Disney really frowns on drinking.
England.
It's hard. Little England. Alex Morgan, pretty attractive. Like, as far as female athletes go.
She likes to party at Epcot.
She likes to get on the piss. Interesting.
I have another story, but it might make me
cry.
Emotional.
Oh, no.
So there were lots of heroes on Monday.
Oh, no. No, no.
But Milwaukee Brewers minor league prospect Bubba Derby is a hero, selflessly threw his body over other people to shield them from bullets during the Vegas massacre. Yeah. 23-year-old pitcher was attending the concert with family and friends when the shots rang out. He says he shielded two girls he met that night. And his cousin threw his body over his girlfriend. And then one of the girls has written a post on Facebook, which I won't read, but it's very emotional.
He survived?
No. And then he like stayed with these girls all night.
You see, you see people's true colors in these kind of situations. Totally. It sounds like he's a very good person. And how about we all get together and find a way to make it so that these kind of things don't happen so much anymore.
Nice.
And the flip side, there's this, I was reading about this Instagram guy that's famous for posting his guns.
Dan Bilzerian.
Yeah. And he ran. Another real winner. Then after the police, area under control. He's like, now I'm going to go get my guns.
Yeah. What were your guns going to do? Guy was fucking 30 stories above you. and across the street.
I'm still waiting for the good guy with the guns to be a part of these stories.
Right.
One day.
Yeah. That's
wish for the Tooth Fairy.
That's only in Bruce Willis movies. Okay.
Is that it, Kate? That's it.
All right. Excellent job all the way around.
Thank you.
Love you guys. Thank you very much to Ed Daly. Thanks to Kate McManus for those people. My name is Brian Beckner. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.